Eddie, the sophomore year. Chapter 6. The Spring Season, Part 2. On Monday before the state invitational meet, Mr. Fraser calls a team meeting after school. Everyone knows beforehand what this meeting is about. During the last meet of the season against Centerville, a few more athletes have qualified for the state invitational meet. Mr. Fraser will introduce those who have qualified for which events in the state invitational meet and discuss the competition. Mr. Fraser starts the meeting, telling the group, "This is, by far, the best track team this school has ever produced. I am proud of every single one of you." Mr. Fraser then gets down to business and announces, "I have the final invitee list for this year's state competition. None of this is going to be too much of a surprise, but here's this year's list. Eddie and Kathy will be running in the 100-yard dash. Mark and Paula will be running in the 220-yard dash. Braden will be running in the 440-yard dash. In the mile, it will be Barbara and Mitchell. In the 4x440 relay, Mark, Paula, Kathy, and Eddie will be taking home the gold again." The team cheers as they hear Mr. Fraser's prediction. Mr. Fraser continues, "In the mile medley relay, Braden, Johnson, Mitchell, and Barbara will also be bringing home the gold." Everyone cheers again. Braden exclaims, "We're going to kick ass again. The final ass kicking of the year. Mr. Fraser." Then announces, "And in the final track event, the 4x220 relay team, Hoffa, Zeno, Bell, and Clark, will be taking home the gold." The cheering continues, which Mr. Fraser interrupts, telling the team, "But I'm not done. Bobby B will be throwing the shot put this year at state. And if I knew any better earlier this year, Eddie would have been throwing the discus." One team member utters, "At who?" "Mr. Crum." The team, including Mr. Fraser, all laugh, remembering from last week that Mr. Zunday threw the discus in the direction of Mr. Crum. Mr. Fraser then mentions, "And if Tessa was here, I'm sure she would be joining us in some event." Mr. Fraser then goes over the practice schedule, which is not overly aggressive. "The beginning of the week will bring a strenuous schedule, but on Thursday and Friday, Mr. Fraser wants the team to rest. 2 days of rest will allow everyone's carbohydrate reserves to completely replenish, giving them the best possible competitive advantage during the meet. He makes it a point to tell the team to forego the pizza until Saturday after the meet." Mr. Fraser then invites the rest of the team to the meet, which will be at the University Stadium, as it was last year. While Mr. Fraser is talking, Mr. Crum is seen by Mr. Zunday in the hallway outside the gym door, eavesdropping on Mr. Fraser's meeting. Mr. Zunday asks Mr. Crum, "Is there something I can help you with?" Mr. Crum, who is startled by Mr. Zunday, replies, "No. I'm just locking up." Mr. Zunday replies, "No, you weren't. Move over." Mr. Crum moves aside, and Mr. Zunday enters the gym. Mr. Zunday knows Mr. Crum is up to something, but, at this time, he does not care. Whatever Mr. Crum is up to is insignificant as far as Mr. Zunday is concerned. The invitees to the state meet head out to the track, along with a few other team members who just want to get another training session in. On the way out, Eddie asks Mr. Fraser, "Can I throw the discus a few times?" Mr. Fraser tells him, "Sure, no problem." Mr. Fraser knows that the vast majority of Eddie's training is done outside scheduled practices, so a few throws of the discus are not a problem. Mr. Fraser tells Wendy and Erica, "Go back and get the discuses, and give them the same special treatment that you give the shot put." This is Mr. Fraser's way of letting Bobby B know that he knows what has been going on. But if Bobby B brings home a medal in the shot put as he did this past winter, he can have the shot put driven to the track in a limousine for all Mr. Fraser cares. Kathy and Paula also want to give the discus a try, and again, Mr. Fraser agrees. On the track, the mile medley relay team and the 4x220 relay team run practice drills. Over in the field area, Bobby B is throwing the shot put. The 4x440 relay team, however, is throwing the discus. Mr. Zunde teaches them the technique, showing them first how to hold the discus. He then demonstrates the starting position and the warm-up before initiating the spin. Doing the spin in slow motion, Mr. Zunde tells the group, "Watch my feet, and pay particular attention to the fact that I'm holding the discus far away from my body." Mr. Zunde then demonstrates the proper time and angle to release the discus, telling them, "The optimum angle for releasing the discus is theoretically 45 degrees. Due to air resistance, however, the optimal angle for its release is 35 to 44 degrees. He then adds, "You will learn more about that in physics class in 12th grade when you take it. At least Miss Amos teaches something useful in her classes, unlike that Mr. O'Brien." Mr. Zunde then tells them, "I'm now going to demonstrate how it's thrown." Mr. Zunde gets into the starting position, goes into the spin, and throws the discus. The discus travels more than 200 feet. Eddie, Mark, Kathy, and Paula are amazed at Mr. Zunde's throw. Wendy drives the Cushman out to the field and retrieves the discus. Erica, however, is very busy helping Bobby B with the shot put. Eddie is the first to give it a try. This time, however, Eddie views his discus throw as vying for a place on the team in this event. Eddie first tries the technique in slow motion. He then gets into the starting position, goes into the spin, and releases the discus. The discus flies quite far, rivaling Mr. Zunde's throw. Mr. Zunde asks Wendy, "Did you see where it landed?" Wendy answers, "Yeah. I think so." Mr. Zunde tells her to get a measurement when she retrieves the discus. Wendy reads the tape, which is already laying on the field. She then retrieves the discus. When she returns, Wendy tells Mr. Zunde, "It was about 190 feet. About is good enough for now." Mr. Zunde has seen all he needs to see. Now it is Mark's turn. Mark and Eddie have been competing with each other since kindergarten. They are both competitive on the track, in the weight room, and the competition is not about to stop with the discus. Mark makes a few practice attempts while Mr. Zunde makes a few adjustments to his form and technique. Kathy and Paula watch carefully as they are up next. Mark gets into the starting position, goes into the spin, but does not release the discus. Mark tells Mr. Zunde, "I just want to get it right." Mr. Zunde replies, "It's better to get it right than to take out Braden, who is on the track passing the baton to Johnson." Mark gets into the starting position again, goes into the spin, and releases the discus. The discus again flies with a distance that could take first place in any regular season meet. Mr. Zunde is smiling and laughing, expressing that he is quite impressed. Wendy retrieves the discus and tells Mr. Zunde it was a little over 185 feet. Mr. Zunde asks Eddie and Mark, "And you guys have never done this before?" Mark replies, "No." Eddie replies, "Yeah. Last week." Now it's Kathy's turn. Mr. Zunde tells her, "It looks like 190 feet is your goal." Mr. Zunde goes over the technique with Kathy, who learns fast and is ready to go. Mr. Fraser is watching as Kathy prepares to throw the discus. She makes a few practice moves and confidently tells Mr. Zunde, "Okay, I'm ready." When Kathy says she's ready, she is ready. Kathy is all fired up. She gets into position and exclaims, "Amazon. I'll show them what Amazon is." Kathy goes into the spin and, as she releases the discus, lets out a loud Amazon war cry. Mr. Fraser, after seeing Kathy's throw, walks over to the discus pad from the relay transition zone. While Wendy retrieves the discus, Mr. Zunde gives Mr. Fraser the good news, telling him, "Eddie threw 190 feet, and Mark just over 185. Wendy returns with the discus and the measurement. Wendy tells Mr. Zunde and Mr. Fraser, It was 145 feet. Mr. Fraser exclaims, "That's better than Springer." Mr. Fraser then says to himself, "This can't be happening." Kathy, proud of her throw, smiles and says, "Well, I played frisbee a lot when I was a kid." Paula wants her turn, and she's not about to be shown up by Kathy. After all, this is competition. With Mr. Zunday's guidance, Paula practices a few times. Paula, an inch taller than Kathy, might have a slight advantage. Paula gets ready for her throw and, with everyone now watching, is all fired up. On a mission, Paula springs back and forth a few times, winding up before she goes into the spin. Paula lets loose and, going into the spin, releases the discus with a primal scream that perhaps pushed the discus a few extra inches. Paula's throw goes off to the side just a bit, but is nevertheless an excellent throw. Mr. Fraser rides with Wendy to retrieve the discus and take the measurement. Mr. Fraser finds the divot and shows Wendy how to properly measure the throw. He tells Wendy, "You measure at the impact mark nearest to the discus pad." He also tells her, "Paula's throw was a little off-center, but within range." Mr. Zunday is holding the other end of the tape at the inside of the circle, in line with the center of the circle. Wendy now has it down. She is now an expert at measuring discus throws. While they are riding back, Mr. Fraser tells Wendy, "You measure the shot put, hammer, and javelin in the same way, at the impact point closest to the launch pad." Returning to the discus pad, Mr. Fraser tells them the good news. The throw was 143 feet, 7 inches. Paula asks, "Is that good?" Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday both assure her that her throw was a very good throw. Paula, a little disappointed, remarks, "I came in last." Mr. Zunday tells her, "With a little work, your last place throw may just be able to take every regular season meet next year." Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Zunday, "I showed Wendy how to get a proper measurement. Now you'll get some real numbers." Eddie gives it another try. While Eddie is on the discus pad, Mark asks, "Where do you buy a discus?" Kathy replies, "In a discus store. There's one on every corner. I can't believe you haven't seen them." Mr. Zunday is amused by Kathy's response. Kathy often gets a little silly after delivering a good performance, probably because her endorphin levels are high. Mr. Zunday tells Mark, "If you want, either I or Kathy's father can order one for you." Kathy replies, "Yeah. My dad has his own discus store. It's called Acme." While E. Coyote, on Road Runner, orders stuff from there all the time. It will be delivered just a few minutes after you order it. Paula remarks, "Or, you can order a discus at the pizzeria. They have shot puts and javelins there too." Mr. Zunday is glad to see them all having a good time. Eddie's second throw was on par with his first throw. Mark takes another shot at it, and also does reasonably well. Kathy and Paula take a few more throws, both delivering a decent performance. Mr. Zunday comments to Mr. Fraser, "Springer is going to have a tough time of it next year." Mr. Fraser replies, "Maybe we should see what Bobby B. can do." Mr. Zunday remarks, "Probably not anywhere near Eddie. He'll have to improve his agility. But, with some practice, I'm sure he could be very competitive." With enough on his plate this week, Mr. Fraser replies, "Let's table that until next year." All of the fun and games involving the discus are now over. The 4x440 relay team joins the rest of the team, who are running relay drills. During today's practice, the athletes polish their handoff skills and stretch. The team's performance going into the state invitational meet is at this year's peak. The team's distraction of the opponents also seems to be at its peak, courtesy of Mark. In fact, Mr. Fraser tells the team to think of new ways to distract the competition. He has seen how distraction techniques have worked so well for Mark. Mr. Fraser can clearly see how the rest of the team can also benefit using a little psychological warfare. On the Saturday of the state invitational meet, the team meets at the school early, dresses, and gets on the bus. Many of the other team members, who did not qualify for the meet this year, also board the bus and will give their support. One of the students, Eric Blankenship, even had a banner printed, which he is keeping as a surprise until the meet. This time around, Kathy will get to run on her father's track. Well, it's not exactly her father's track, but the track is at the university, where he is an exercise science professor. Last year, as a team assistant, Kathy was more or less a spectator. When the bus arrives at the state university, the team unloads the equipment. The team members not participating in the meet are nice enough to carry the equipment, which amounts to towels, Gatorade, a few cases of water, and a large electric fan. Bobby B. left his shot put back at the school. One will be provided for him at the meet, although it is not quite as special as the one Bobby B. and Erica have been caring for all year. While the team gets settled at their bench, Blankenship, a freshman, heads up to the stands to display his banner. While the stands fill with spectators, the athletes are on the track and on the field, doing some warm-up exercises. Eddie meanders over to the discus pad, where the discus athletes are taking a few practice throws. Since there are a few discuses laying around, Eddie decides to make his grand entrance into the event, foreshadowing what may be to come next year. It is not too difficult to pick out Brad Sheffield, who is the favorite to take the gold medal in this event. Sheffield takes a warm-up throw, which is what Eddie was hoping to see. As Sheffield leaves the discus pad, Eddie can now take his turn. Sheffield watches carefully, having never seen the 6 foot, 2 inch, 210 pound plus field athlete before. Eddie gets onto the discus pad, noticing that he is being carefully watched by Sheffield. Eddie goes into the spin and, as he releases the discus, lets out his own Amazon war cry. Eddie watches as the discus flies several feet beyond Sheffield's throw. Satisfied with his throw, Eddie begins to walk away. Sheffield stops him and asks, "Hey, who are you?" Eddie replies, "Eddie. Don't worry. I'm a sprinter. I'm not competing against you today." Sheffield, who is a senior, is relieved. Eddie tells him, "Hey, it's nice to meet you. I have to go." Eddie, again, has just been noticed by a few college scouts. A novice at the discus, Eddie just delivered a throw that had Sheffield shaking in his boots. When Eddie gets back to the bench, Kathy tells him, "Hey, check it out," as she points to the banner in the stands. The banner, which Blankenship had made, reads Amazon. Eddie replies, "Awesome." Kathy, Paula, and Barbara are all excited. They really enjoyed hearing the Amazon cheers at the state invitational meet during the indoor track season. Not everyone, however, is pleased to see the banner. Some of the coaches have had enough of the Amazon controversy. Although they complain, their complaints get nowhere with the officials. A banner in the stands does not violate any rules, so they are completely out of luck. The meet gets underway, and the hurdlers get on the track. The 100-yard dash preliminaries are next, so Eddie and Kathy warm up. Eddie, not surprisingly, is the number one seed. Kathy is the number four seed and will be running in the same heat as Eddie. The six fastest times of the morning will make it to the final. The call is made for the 100-yard dash. Eddie and Kathy head straight for the starting line. When the other sprinters arrive, Kathy tells Eddie, "Hey, look. They made me a banner." Some of the guys look up at the banner and take a second look at Kathy. One of the runners comments to Kathy, "Oh, so you're that Amazon girl we've been hearing about." Kathy replies, "It's Amazon woman, thank you very much. And yes, that's me." All of a sudden, the focus shifts to Kathy. Another runner asks her, "Are you really from the Amazon?" Kathy replies, "All of us are. We're all from the same tribe. Can't you tell?" Eddie and Kathy continue to warm up, as the rest of the runners in the heat discuss among themselves whether Kathy should be in the race at all. While she is stretching, Kathy mentions, "Our biggest problem is that none of us had birth certificates, but Mr. Fraser fixed that." During their discussions, the other runners are cooling down and losing their focus on the meet. The starter tells the runners in the first heat to get ready. The starter's request comes as a surprise to everyone except Eddie and Kathy. Everyone else at the starting line was too busy discussing among themselves whether Kathy should be allowed to run. The starter announces, "On your marks." Before moving to his lane, Eddie whispers to Kathy, "I'm going to do the Amazon scream thing too." Kathy whispers back, "It's the Amazon war cry, hun." Hearing Eddie and Kathy whisper to each other throws one of the runners off, who is paranoid and thinks that they are talking about him. The starter announces, "Set." The gun is fired, and both Eddie and Kathy let out a primal scream, now known as the Amazon war cry. No one was expecting to hear that, which certainly distracted the already distracted runners. Eddie and Kathy are out of the blocks first, but this is part of the reason they both made it to state. Eddie is in first place and Kathy in second place after the first 25 yards. Unless a runner is really strong in the last half of the race, it is very difficult, but not impossible, to make up for a bad start. With the distractions, there were three bad starts out of the top six seeds. Halfway through the race, Kathy is holding her own. No one has caught her yet. The sound of footsteps right behind her, however, is forcing her to run her best. Eddie, still out in front, has the race wrapped up at 75 yards. Kathy is still fighting to keep her position. During the last 25 yards of the race, there is no positional change between Kathy and the runner behind her. She has maintained a 2-yard lead over the runner since mid-race, suggesting that they are about the same speed. Eddie crosses first and Kathy second. Coming in third place is a guy named Larry Block, a senior from Union High School, which is out in the middle of nowhere. Following the race, Eddie, Kathy, and Mr. Fraser all walk back to the bench together. Eddie tells Kathy, "You did really good." Kathy replies, "The guy behind me sounded like he was catching me." Mr. Fraser tells Kathy, "You beat him because you were out of the blocks faster. Trust me. He was doing his best and couldn't catch you. That's good news." Based on their times, Mr. Fraser reassures Eddie and Kathy that they will both make it to the final. After the race, Eddie and Kathy both rest on the bench. Hoffer, Zeno, Bell, and Clark hear the call for the 4x220 relay. They head to the starting line with Mr. Fraser. Up in the stands is Tessa, who ran in this event over the indoor track season. Tessa is curious to see how this relay team does. Kathy, now realizing that a medal is within reach, tells Eddie, "I want so much to win a medal now. I didn't think I could make it to the final, but now that I did, I want to win something." Eddie tells her, "You've done everything you can to get here. You can win." The rest of the heats were slower than anyone you've already ran against. Kathy replies, "Yeah, I know that up here," pointing to her head, "but I don't know that right here," pointing to her heart. Eddie reminds her, "Just remember what you did with the discus earlier this week. You can do this." Eddie thinks for a while and says, "And we'll get Braden to start the Amazon chant during the final." Kathy gazes over at the track and says to Eddie, "Wow. Look at Hoffer go." Eddie replies, "Hoffer. Yeah. That's it." Tessa is up in the stands. "We'll get her and the rest of the team to do the Amazon chant." Eddie and Kathy scan the stands, trying to find Tessa and the rest of the track team. Kathy sees Mr. Crumb in the stands, sitting alone. No one knows why he showed up, since he hates athletics. They finally find Tessa and a few of the other team members, sitting right near the banner that Blankenship hung earlier. They motion for Tessa to come down to the fence. Tessa comes down from the stands, meeting them at the fence, along with a few others. Eddie and Kathy ask them to start the Amazon chant when any of the women run. They are all glad to do it. Kathy reminds them that the 100-yard dash final follows the mile, and to start the chant before the race begins. Eddie and Kathy return to the team bench. Kathy tells Paula and Barbara, "Our Amazon chants will begin when we run." Barbara responds by saying, "That will take a few seconds off my time." Just hearing the crowd cheer for them energizes Kathy, Paula, and Barbara. Kathy mentions, "Maybe the chant will catch on, like it did during the indoor season." Kathy, who is now more confident, is getting all fired up. They hear the first call for the 1 mile run, which means that the 100-yard dash final is imminent. Mr. Fraser officially informs Eddie and Kathy that they both have made the final. Eddie is the number one seed, and Kathy is now the number two seed. Larry Block is the number three seed. Mr. Fraser also informs them that he has not heard anything about the other three runners. Kathy is feeling even more confident. Now the number two seed, Kathy has moved up two notches after the preliminaries. As Barbara and Mitchell head to the starting line, the team wishes them luck. Right before the mile begins, Tessa and the rest begin the Amazon chant. The words, "Amazon, Amazon, Amazon," can be heard throughout the stands and on the field. Barbara waves to the crowd, and the cheering becomes more widespread and louder. As she enters the track, reality has set in that there is a woman running in this race, and the crowd cheers louder and louder. When all of the runners are in position, the starter tells the runners to get set and fires the gun. Listening to the cheer, one would think the entire crowd was rooting for Barbara. Halfway through the race, the spectators have moved beyond the novelty of seeing a woman in the race. They have realized that Barbara, who is leading the pack, did not show up just to look pretty. During the third lap, the crowd realizes that Barbara might actually win the race. The chanting gets louder, and Barbara runs faster. Barbara widens her lead, with Mitchell fighting it out with Zach Ward from Henderson High for second place. Ward has a score to settle with Barbara and Mitchell from this past indoor track season. During the last lap, Barbara is far enough separated from the pack that no one can catch her. Ward takes a slight lead over Mitchell, with Mitchell right on Ward's heels. With about 220 yards to go, Mitchell is calculating when he will attempt to pass Ward. With 150 yards remaining, Mitchell makes his move and puts the pressure on Ward. Ward speeds up, but Mitchell tracks Ward's progress. Ward, appearing to be at his limit, cannot keep up with the pressure Mitchell delivers. Mitchell passes Ward with 60 yards remaining as Barbara crosses the finish line. The crowd cheers, "Amazon, Amazon, Amazon," even louder as they watch Barbara cross the finish line and win the race. Mitchell takes second place, and Ward has to settle for third place. While the mile was underway, Eddie and Kathy have made their way to the starting line for the 100-yard dash final. As Barbara walks by the spectators, she waves to the crowd. Once she has their attention, she points to Kathy, who is behind the starting blocks for the 100-yard dash final. Barbara raises her arms, encouraging the crowd to cheer louder for Kathy. The crowd, now focused on Kathy, starts cheering, "Amazon, Amazon, Amazon," again. Kathy waves to the crowd, who are now her fan club. While they are waiting, Eddie asks Kathy in a voice loud enough for the other runners to hear, "How much do you get paid if you win this race?" Kathy, knowing exactly what Eddie is up to, answers, "I think I get $3,000 for first place, $2,000 for second place, and only $1,000 for third place." The 4x440 relay pays a little better. Eddie replies, "Wow. That's really good for your first year." Kathy's comment almost incites a riot among the other finalists. One finalist argues that getting paid to run is strictly against the rules. Another finalist is looking around for a meet official to report the violation. But they have little time to complain, for the starter announces, "On your marks." The starter announces, "Set," and the crowd cheers even louder. When the gun is fired, Eddie and Kathy are out of the blocks, both in search of a medal. It does not take long to figure out that Kathy's pre-race comments really irritated the other runners. Kathy is primarily concerned with Block, who she now leads by only a few feet after 35 yards. Eddie is in first place, and knows by the sound of the feet right behind him that they are Kathy's. Kathy is focused on chasing Eddie, not caring who is behind her. With 50 yards remaining, it does not look like Block will catch Kathy if she can keep up her speed. With 25 yards remaining, no one is within reach of Eddie. Kathy still maintains her lead over Block, while Block and another runner fight it out for third place. Eddie crosses the finish line first, with Kathy a few yards behind him. Kathy takes second place, wondering how she even ran that fast. Taking third place is Dwayne Harris, wearing a uniform with the school name Central on it. Block settles for fourth place, not that it's worth anything. Fourth place is worse than a participation trophy. Eddie and Kathy congratulate each other with a victory hug. The crowd abruptly stops the Amazon cheer, replacing it with words like, "Oh, how sweet," in response to them hugging each other. Eddie and Kathy give each other a kiss, and the crowd goes wild, with more clapping and cheering. Kathy's father, who was standing at the finish line, gives Kathy a hug and congratulates her on winning second place. Mr. Fraser is ecstatic, bringing home two medals in one event. The four of them have a victory celebration at the finish line. Mr. Fraser talks with Dr. Karakova for a few minutes, telling him how badly Kathy wanted to medal in this event. Dr. Karakova assures Mr. Fraser that he has first-hand knowledge of how much Kathy wanted to win something today. The race, in the eyes of some, is not over. Some of the finalists report to their coaches that the girl gets paid if she places in the race. Among the complainants is Larry Block, who thinks he deserves third place. Block talks to the union coach, Woody Hayes, and reports what he heard. Block and Hayes go to speak directly to the meet director, none other than Dr. Alexander Karakova himself. Hayes approaches Dr. Karakova, telling him, "Sir, one of my runners overheard a violation of the rules before the 100-yard dash final that I think you should know about." Dr. Karakova replies, "Oh, really? What violation is that?" Hayes reports the violation, telling Dr. Karakova, "One of my runners, Larry Block, heard the girl in the final tell her teammate that she gets paid for running. She actually quoted the dollar amounts for first, second, and third place." Block adds, "She said she gets $3,000 for first place, $2,000 for second place, and $1,000 for third place." Dr. Karakova, who has really had enough of this petty nonsense, responds by telling them both, "That's really good. Northside pays more than most teams in their division. Mr. Fraser must be well-funded in order to go to the Amazon to get these women." Mr. Hayes arrogantly responds, "So, you're not going to take this seriously?" Dr. Karakova replies, "No. Actually, I'm not. The girl that took second place is my daughter Katerina. I can assure you that she is neither getting paid nor is she from the Amazon. And, if you haven't noticed, Karakova isn't exactly the most popular name in this country. Statistically, it's very likely that we're related." Block asks his coach, then, "Why would she say that?" Before Mr. Hayes can respond, Dr. Karakova explains, "They tell the opponents that their shoelaces are untied before a race. They pretend to fight at the starting line over whose turn it is to win. One of the guys on that team even convinced a finalist that a girl on the sidelines is interested in him. He turned and looked at her during the race, causing him to leave his lane. Anyone who believes any of these pre-race distraction techniques, quite frankly, does not deserve to win." Dr. Karakova then mentions, "Falling for this kind of nonsense is not compatible with the path to college competition." Dr. Karakova tells Block, "Stay focused on your own race. Pay absolutely no attention to what anyone else is doing or saying." Mr. Hayes, realizing his runner fell for the oldest trick in the book, walks away disappointed and embarrassed. Block had learned his lesson today, albeit the hard way. Back at the team bench, Eddie and Kathy sit and relax as Braden is getting ready to run the 440-yard dash. With their morning over, Eddie and Kathy ask Mr. Fraser if they can go to the cafeteria and get something to eat. Their next race is at the end of the meet, so they have quite a lot of time. Mr. Fraser tells them it is okay and asks them to bring something back for him since he is very busy at the moment. Mr. Fraser then heads off with Braden to the 440-yard dash. Barbara, Johnson, Mitchell, and the 4x220 relay team join Kathy and Eddie for lunch. Mark and Paula, who will be in the 220-yard dash shortly, have already eaten. After lunch, Kathy tells Eddie, "Now, I really want a nap. This getting up early really sucks." Eddie replies, "Yeah, we can do that. There's a student lounge here somewhere, if I remember, from last year." Kathy reminds Eddie, "We won the gold medal in the relay in indoor track. That's because I got a nap before the race. That is probably not the reason, but if Kathy wants a nap, any excuse will do." They go to the student lounge, find a sofa, and take a nap. The 4x220 relay team all head back to the bench and bring Mr. Fraser his lunch. After Kathy's nap, Eddie and Kathy return to the bench, finding the mile medley team heading to the starting line. They sit with Mark and Paula, who finished the 220-yard dash a little earlier. Kathy asks, "So, what did we miss?" Paula replies, "Nothing. They stopped the meet until you returned." Kathy, also quick on her feet, replies, "I told them they didn't have to do that." Paula tells Kathy, "I got second place in the 220. Mark won, but I let him win." Mark interjects, "Yeah, right." Paula also tells them, "And Braden won the 440. Mark responds, "Yeah, with a lot of hot air and ranting. You should have seen it. Braden finished the race before one guy got out of the blocks. Just ask him. He'll tell you." Well, not quite, but Braden did do what he set out to do, which is to win the gold medal. Paula asks Kathy and Eddie, "Oh, and by the way, what was that thing you guys supposedly said about getting paid?" Eddie replies, "I asked Kathy how much she gets paid if she wins." Kathy adds, "Yeah. I knew what he was up to. So, I said, I think I get 3,000 to win this race, or 2,000 for second place, and only 1,000 for third place." Eddie explains, "That really started an argument at the starting line, and before you knew it, the starter told everyone, 'On your marks.' They really got blindsided by that one." Paula informs them, "Word of that has really gotten around." Eddie remarks, "Wow. That worked better than I thought it would." Paula tells Kathy, "Your dad came over and told Mr. Fraser about that one." Kathy asks, "Uh-oh. Am I in trouble?" Paula replies, "I doubt it." They were both laughing. Mark asks, "Is McCrutchen here?" Eddie replies, "I hadn't seen him." Mark calls out to Wendy and asks, "Hey, Wendy. Is Centerville here for the 4x440? Wendy looks through the list and replies, "Yeah. They are in your heat." Mark tells Eddie, "I'll bet you a pizza that if I tell McCrutchen before the race that his diaper is leaking, he'll look." Eddie quickly replies, "You on." Kathy remarks, "McCrutchen can't really be that stupid." Mark replies, "But he'll look anyway." Hearing what Mark said, Eddie is now not so sure about his bet. But it doesn't matter. It's only a pizza, and if Mark is right, it would be worth it. The call for the final event of the day is made, and the 4x440 relay team heads to the starting line. On the way, Mark informs Mr. Fraser, "I bet Eddie a pizza that, if I tell McCrutchen his diaper is leaking, he'll look." Eddie mentions, "I shouldn't have made that bet. Mr. Fraser laughs and says, I'm buying dinner tonight for everyone if he looks. Kathy tells Paula, hey, Mr. Fraser just said he's buying us pizza before the awards ceremony tonight. Paula replies, awesome. Mr. Fraser replies, now, I didn't exactly say that. Mark tells Mr. Fraser, oh yeah, you did, because he's going to look. Kathy looks at Paula and says, superpowers. He'll look. The 4x440 relay team arrives at the starting line. The other teams arrive one by one. Mark spots McCutcheon among the Centerville relay team that they've beaten many times in the past. An official announces the lane assignments, which were already known to the teams in advance. Northside is in lane 1, and Centerville is in lane 4. Mr. Fraser hands Mark the baton. Kathy and Paula wave to the crowd, and the Amazon chant again begins. Mark tells Mr. Fraser and everyone else, okay, watch this. I can taste my pizza already. Mark walks over to McCutcheon and shakes his hand, telling him, hey, good luck. He then whispers to McCutcheon, oh, and by the way, your teammates are probably not going to tell you this, but, pointing to McCutcheon's shorts, tells him, your diaper is leaking. McCutcheon looks down, and laughter breaks out among the Northside relay team. Mark walks away and stands behind his blocks waiting for the starter's command. Mark looks over at Mr. Fraser, who yells out to Mark, it looks like I'm buying dinner tonight. Kathy whispers to Eddie, see? Superpowers. The command, on your marks, is given by the starter, quickly followed by, set. Everyone gets set, and the gun is fired. Mark, who now easily runs a quarter mile in the lower 50-second range, takes an early lead. Once Mark is gone, Eddie asks Kathy again, how much do you get paid for this race if you win? Kathy replies, 4,000 because it's a 440. It's much harder than the 100. Eddie replies, I wonder why they pay you girls more than us. Kathy tells Eddie, we're pretty. And we attract a lot more attention than you guys do. Mr. Fraser, wanting to get in on the action, tells Kathy and Eddie, I've told you both that I don't want you discussing your bonuses on the track. Someone might hear you and get us in trouble. Paula, getting ready to get on the track, reminds Mr. Fraser, remember, you said that if we win this race, you're bringing my sister back from the Amazon the week after school is over. Mr. Fraser assures her, I already have my plane ticket. Mr. Fraser is catching on well, participating in the psychological warfare. Mark hands off to Paula, and Paula takes off on a mission. Eddie whispers to Mr. Fraser, I think we had an audience. Mr. Fraser replies, we do. And whoever comes in fourth place is going to file a complaint. Mr. Fraser tells Eddie, fourth place is the worst possible outcome in a meet like this, especially if it's close. And if there is any possibility of an infraction, a complaint will be filed by whoever took fourth place. Eddie and Mr. Fraser watch Paula as she maintains first place. Kathy waves to the crowd as she gets onto the track. Paula hands off to Kathy, who announces the start of her leg with a loud Amazon war cry. The crowd cheers louder and louder as Kathy runs her last race of the season. Mr. Fraser tells Eddie, well, I'd better let you get to work. Eddie gets onto the track, waiting for Kathy as she comes around the curve. McCutcheon, in lane 4, looks over at Mark. Mark points to McCutcheon's shorts, getting a little more mileage out of his earlier joke. Kathy hands off to Eddie and quickly leaves the track. Kathy finds a place to lie down as she watches Eddie run his leg. Mr. Fraser is not even timing the legs of this race. This is the last race of the season, and he already knows within a few seconds what everyone's individual times will be. Mr. Fraser notices that McCutcheon receives his baton 20 seconds after Eddie received his. McCutcheon, however, is not the concern. The team in lane 2 is in second place, receiving their baton 8 seconds after Eddie received his. But in order to beat Eddie, the runner in lane 2 will have to run a 45-second quarter mile. That is not likely to happen. Halfway through the leg, it appears the runner in lane 2 has actually lost some ground, but not much. As Eddie approaches the finish line, Kathy stands up and waits to meet him. Eddie crosses the finish line first, and the team cheers wildly. Mr. Fraser gives the team members a high five and exclaims, "There are more heats, but it looks like you guys took it." Eddie and Kathy hug each other, and Kathy says, "Wow. My first year is over. I can't believe it. It was so much fun." The 4x440 relay team will likely take the gold medal, but there are other heats to be run. They head back to the bench to sit back and relax until the final results are in. At the bench, Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Fraser that Bobby B took the gold medal in the shot put. This is good news, since Bobby B was the number 2 seed. The team decides to get dinner before the awards ceremony. Mark reminds Mr. Fraser that he is buying dinner for everyone tonight. Mr. Fraser, after today's performance, is glad to buy everyone dinner. They all head to the cafeteria, where pizza is waiting for them. After dinner, they all rush back to the track, which has been set up for the awards ceremony. The team had some pizza left over, so they put the slices in a box and take it back with them. Barely making it back in time, they return to the bench during the awards for the hurdles. Since everyone has won something, the team heads to the shot put pad, waiting for their name to be called. Mr. Fraser, Mr. Zunday, Wendy, and Erika return to the empty bench, indulging on the leftover slices of pizza. In this case, an empty bench is a good thing, for all the athletes have placed in this meet. The program moves on to the 100-yard dash, and Kathy is all excited. The meet announcer announces, "First place in the 100-yard dash, running for Northside High School, goes to Edward Boganskaya." As Eddie walks up and stands on the first place tier, the crowd cheers. The meet announcer then announces, "In second place, also running for Northside High School, Katerina Karakova." Kathy walks up, and the crowd goes wild, reviving the Amazon cheer that has dominated the day. The meet announcer announces, "In third place, running for Central High School, Dwayne Harris." Once the medalists are on their tiers, the meet officials drape the medals around the winners' necks. The Amazon cheer continues and intensifies when Eddie gives Kathy a kiss. Photographs of the winners are taken, but most of the photography centers on Kathy. The ceremony then moves on to the next event. Eddie and Kathy return to the shot put area, wearing their medals, waiting to be called for the 4x440 relay. The ceremony moves along quickly. Hoffer, Zeno, Bell, and Clark take first place in the mile medley event. This is the pinnacle of Zeno's, Bell's, and Clark's track career. They are seniors and will not return next year. They have finally received a gold medal at the Spring Invitational meet, something that has been elusive until their buddy, Mahoney, left. The awards ceremony comes to the 1 mile run. The Amazon cheer begins again, as Barbara is called to the stage along with Mitchell. After the medals are distributed for the mile, the announcement is made that Barbara will be attending the State University next year, right here, where the meet is being held. Braden is called to the stage for the 440-yard dash, where he won the gold medal. While on stage, Braden appears as if he has enough energy to run every event in the meet and win. Braden has kicked ass in the 440-yard dash this year, breaking the 50-second barrier many times. Today, he had the best run of his life. Braden now has his sights set on breaking the state record in a future meet. In the 220-yard dash, Mark and Paula are called to the stage. Mark won the gold medal, and Paula won the silver medal. Paula might argue that she let Mark win, just so he wouldn't be embarrassed. But after all, Paula did beat Mark once this year, fair and square. Paula's presence on the stage stimulates the crowd again to begin the Amazon cheer. Braden, Mitchell, and Barbara returned to the stage with Johnson, who won the gold medal in the mile medley relay. Johnson almost made state in the 880-yard run, but he has been plagued by a few highly competent seniors in this event. Next year, Johnson is sure to qualify. With Barbara back on the stage, the Amazon cheer begins again. The last track award to be distributed is for the 4x440 relay. The meet announcer begins by introducing the winner. First place in the 4x440 relay goes to Northside High School. Running for Northside are Mark Svoboda, Paula Giovanni, Katerina Karakova, and Edward Boganskaya. The team comes up and takes their place on the first place tier. The meet announcer announces the teams taking second and third place, but no one hears who they are because the Amazon cheer is quite loud. This time Kathy is on the stage with Eddie and Mark with Paula. They all get to celebrate this victory together. The medalists receive their awards and, after the photos, return to their teams. The ceremony moves on to the field events. Bobby B. is called to the stage as Mr. Zunde stands and claps. Mr. Zunde is impressed that Bobby B. has come this far so quickly. There is, however, no Amazon cheer for Bobby B. Anyone else wanting a gold medal in the shot put is probably out of luck for the next 2 years. Bobby B. returns to the team bench, and the team celebrates their victory. Eddie, however, is off to the side where he is watching the awards for the discus. Brad Sheffield is called to the stage, winning the gold medal. Eddie, wanting to find out what the winning throw was in the discus, walks over to a table where the meet clerk and some other officials are filling out papers. Eddie asks one of the officials, "Can you tell me what the winning throw was in the discus?" The official asks the head field judge, "What was the distance that took the gold in the discus?" The head field judge, looking through his papers, replies, "Brad Sheffield threw 182 feet, 9 inches. "Not bad." Eddie tells them, "Hey, thanks. I appreciate it." Eddie recalls he threw somewhere between 185 and 190 feet. When Eddie returns to the team bench, Kathy asks him, "Hey, where were you?" Eddie replies, "I wanted to find out what the winning throw was in the discus. It was 182 feet, 9 inches. Kathy exclaims, "Wow. You could beat that." Eddie replies, "Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about trying out for the discus next year." Kathy informs Eddie, "What do you mean, try out? You're already in." While Eddie was away, Tessa, the rest of the track team, and the parents came down from the bleachers and joined the medalists. Eddie's parents congratulate him and the other team members. College scouts, reporters, and photographers make their way to the Northside bench and attempt to talk with anyone they can. Unfortunately, the scouts find out that most of the winners are not seniors or juniors. At this point in the season, a college scout must present an outstanding offer to any senior, as most athletes going to college have already committed to a school. But the scouts give it their best shot anyway. Mr. Crum, who was in the stands during the meet, makes his way to the team bench. Why he showed up at the meet is anyone's guess. Mr. Crum introduces himself to a few reporters, letting them know that he is the principal at Northside High School. The reporters want a picture of Mr. Crum with the coaches and the team, and they encourage him to come to the bench and join the team. When he does arrive at the bench, Mr. Crum sees Eddie's father and becomes somewhat nervous. One photographer wants a photograph of the entire group. Braden tells the photographer, "I ain't getting my picture made with the principal. He tried to give me detention to keep me out of a meet." The team decides that if Braden is not in the picture, then no one will be in the picture. One reporter questions Braden further about the events surrounding his potential detention, which Braden is glad to give him. Mr. Crum gets the message and decides to stand aside. The team, with everyone wearing their medals, Mr. Fraser, Mr. Zunde, Wendy, and Erica all pose for the photograph. During the photograph, Ed is, Mark's, and Paula's parents, along with Kathy's mother, are discussing the meet. Dr. Karakova joins them, telling them, today has made track and field history in the state. Eddie's father asks, how so? Dr. Karakova explains, first, a woman has never placed in an event at the state level before. Second, no team has ever taken first place in so many events before. Mr. Crum, hearing this, walks up and attempts to join the conversation. After all, Dr. Karakova is the meet director, and this is a great chance for Mr. Crum to get some good publicity. Dr. Karakova continues, saying as he points to Mr. Crum, and third, we've never had a principal, like Mr. Crum here, to interfere with a sports team with such veracity before. Mr. Crum finally gets the message and leaves the field. Mr. Zunde, watching as Mr. Crum leaves, asks with a loud voice, hey, has anyone seen the discus? A few students, who knew the story behind Mr. Zunde's comment, laugh hysterically. The team heads to the bus, as yet another track season comes to a close. But this year was special. The women stole the show, both during the indoor track season and during the spring season. But in retrospect, everyone ran better than they would have if the women were not on the team. Mitchell stepped up his game in the mile. Eddie and Mark are faster than ever. When the opponents see Braden on the track, they are ready to throw in the towel before the race even begins. And Johnson is the most versatile of anyone, being a top-notch sprinter and distance man. On the field, Bobby B. looks like he will be unstoppable for the next 2 years. Hoffer and Tessa, both freshmen this year, will become part of the backbone of the indoor team next year. On Monday morning, Eddie, Kathy, and the tribe hang around in the school lobby, with their medals draped around their necks. The group celebrates again, which is attracting a lot of attention. The medalists get a lot of high fives from their friends, and even from those they don't know. Mr. Crum, who was put out on Saturday, sees the celebration and decides to break it up. He tells them to go to class, even though there's 15 minutes before class starts. The group decides to go outside and spend the time there. As the buses unload, everyone notices the women wearing their medals around their necks. One of Kathy's classmates, Tiffany, asks her, "You actually won. You beat the guys." Kathy replies, "Yeah. Well, except for Eddie." Tiffany looks at Kathy's two medals and says, "Wow. This one's gold. You won first place." Kathy tells her, "That was in our relay race. It's me, Eddie, Paula, and Mark." Tiffany asks what a relay race is, and Kathy explains it to her. She tells Kathy, "I am definitely coming to watch you next year. I want to see this." Many of the students were totally unaware that women were on the track team. The debacle earlier this year with Mr. Crum did not make it too much further than the athletic circle. The rules won, and Mr. Crum has been put on notice that he must also abide by them. But now the word is out that women are allowed on the sports teams. Next year will present an opportunity to find new and undiscovered talent in track and field, and perhaps other sports as well. And while the coaches are searching for new talent, Mr. Crum is still searching for a new desk. It is the last week of the school year, and his desk has not yet been replaced. The final bell of the school year rings, and summer begins. Eddie and Kathy meet at the front of the school. Eddie tells Kathy, "I got an A." Kathy asks, "How do you know?" Eddie tells her, "Mr. Malik told me." Kathy replies, "Oh, auto shop. Of course you got an A." Eddie mentions, "Next year, I get to take advanced auto shop, and also woodworking and metal shop." Kathy replies, "Well, when I get to buy a car, you can keep it running for me." Eddie asks, "You're not trading in your bicycle, are you?" Kathy replies, "No way. That ain't happening." Eddie tells Kathy, "You don't even have a driver's license yet." Kathy informs Eddie, "Yeah, well, I have my learner's permit, and I'm going to pass driver's ed, and I think I take my road test in like 2 weeks." Eddie replies, "Great. You can drive me to the beach." Kathy tells him, "That's in the plan, hun." After a while, the whole tribe is together. It is no big secret what today's agenda is. The only question is what will be on the pizza. They all head to the pizzeria and are all as happy as they can be now that summer vacation has begun. Everyone talks about their plans for the summer, which includes working out and getting faster and stronger for next year. The sad part is that Barbara will be in college next year. But the good news is that the university is only a few miles away, and she will be back to work with the team. The group overheard earlier that Kathy said that she wants to buy a car. While they are waiting for their pizza, Paula suggests, "Make sure you get something that will seat four of us. There is no big secret there." Paula and Mark want to ride to the beach with Kathy and Eddie. Brayden tells Kathy, "Forget that. Get something that is going to kick ass." Brayden's comment comes as a surprise to no one. Eddie has his own suggestion, telling Kathy, "Get something that I won't be spending my weekends fixing." Kathy tells him, "Darn. I was going to buy 3 junk cars that didn't run and tell you to make one good car out of them." Eddie replies, "I'd rather carry you around town." Kathy tells everyone, "Hey. Everyone heard that, right? Eddie's going to carry me around town." Mark replies, "Yeah, the Eddie-mobile. Top speed of 5 miles per hour when fully loaded." He gets 8 miles to the pizza. The conversation quiets down when Joe brings them their pizzas. They all dig in, and the conversation again shifts to what everyone will be doing this summer. After lunch, everyone tells each other to have a great summer. They all plan to meet at the pool a few times and maybe go to the 4th of July fireworks at the park together. For certain, they will meet to work out a few times. Eddie, Kathy, Mark, and Paula will probably spend a lot of time together at the beach. The girls give each other hugs, and the guys give each other fist bumps as they all go their way. On the walk home, Kathy tells Eddie, "Okay, so now I feel really bad." Eddie asks, "Why?" Kathy replies, "Paula wanted me to get a car that seats 4, but the one I really want only seats 2. Eddie tells her, "I wouldn't feel bad about that. She's going to buy her own car someday soon, so that will only be an issue for a few months. We can all still ride our bicycles to the beach together." Kathy replies, "Yeah, you're right. It's only for this summer that it will matter." Eddie asks Kathy, "So, what did you have picked out?" Kathy tells him, "A German sports car." Eddie asks, "Really? Which one?" Kathy tells him, "I'll tell you, but you have to promise not to laugh." Eddie tells her, "Okay, I promise." Kathy tells him, "I want a Porsche 914. Eddie informs Kathy, "That's nothing to laugh about. It's a really good car. It's the best British roadster ever made." Kathy informs Eddie, "It's made in Germany." Eddie replies, "I know. That was a joke." Kathy tells him, "I like it because it's cute. The Porsche 914 is anything but cute, but it is to Kathy, and that's all that matters." Eddie tells her, "As long as we make a few repairs, it should be good." Kathy asks, "Repairs? I haven't even gotten it yet." Eddie tells her, "The fuel line near the battery needs to be moved, and the water drainage in the engine compartment needs to be modified, and the sills need to be rust-proofed. Other than that, it's a really good car." Kathy asks him, "How do you know all that?" Eddie replies, "Because I'm Eddie, the mechanic." Now curious, Kathy asks, "Why does the fuel line need to be moved?" Eddie explains, "Because it's too close to the battery, and battery corrosion could get on the fuel line, and it could lead to an engine fire." Kathy tells him, "Yeah. That definitely sounds like it needs to be fixed. Eddie assures her it will only take an hour and we'll replace the fuel line with a metal braided one. Kathy asks Eddie, "So, are you going to help me pick it out?" Eddie replies, "Sure. I'll pick the color. Get green, but don't get the yellow. And if you get a white one, you'll be washing it forever." Kathy exclaims, "I like the green. That's my favorite." Kathy then asks, "But why not the yellow?" Eddie tells her, "Because it comes with black trim, and it looks like a school bus." Kathy replies, "That's a good point. I don't want to drive around in something that looks like a school bus." Eddie asks Kathy, "So, are you going to buy a new one or a used one?" Kathy replies, "I don't know. I don't have a lot of money. But I have my job again this summer, so I can save up some money." Eddie suggests, "Well, we can stop by Angelo's sometime and see what he has to say." Kathy replies, "Yeah, Angelo. He's the mechanic on the corner. You guys built your squat rack." Kathy, who is kind of impulsive at times, tells Eddie, "Hey, let's go see Angelo now." Kathy drops her stuff off at her house, and she walks her bicycle to Eddie's house. Eddie gets his bicycle, and they head to Angelo's service station. When they arrive, Angelo is eating dinner at his desk. He is done early for the day because it is Friday. Eddie and Kathy walk in, and Angelo asks, "Hey, Eddie, how have you been?" Eddie replies, "Good. Track is over, school is out, and summer begins today." Angelo tells Eddie, "I bet you're happy about that." Eddie tells Angelo, "This is my girlfriend, Kathy." Angelo tells Kathy, "It's really nice to meet you." Angelo then asks, "So, what brings you guys to a garage on a Friday evening?" Eddie replies, "Kathy had some questions." Angelo tells Kathy, "Ed is a great guy. Keep him. That should answer all your questions." Kathy replies, "Oh, that is so sweet." Getting down to business, Angelo then asks, "Okay, so what's up?" Kathy tells him, "I want to buy a car, so Eddie said I should ask you about it, since you're the expert." Eddie mentions, "Kathy wants a Porsche 914. Angelo tells Kathy, "That's a nice choice, but be sure to reroute the fuel line." Kathy looks at Eddie, realizing that Eddie actually knew what he was talking about. Kathy asks Angelo, "So, are they good?" Angelo replies, "They are a lot of fun to drive, and they are easy to keep running." Kathy asks, "How much do they cost?" Angelo replies, "A lot. Somewhere around $6,000 for a new one. If you build one, you can drive away for less than $2,000. Kathy mentions, "Wow. The new ones are really expensive." Kathy is a little disappointed at the cost of a new Porsche 914. She thought the price would be a lot less than that, especially since the Porsche 914 is a lot smaller than an average-sized car. And she really had her heart set on that car. Kathy asks, "How do you mean, like by build one?" Angelo explains, "Well, for example, Malia has a 914 sitting around, and the engine is blown. The body and everything else is in perfect condition. If you find an engine in a junkyard, just drop it in. You'll be driving around for less than $1,500. That's assuming your mechanic, Eddie, gives you a break on the labor." Eddie asks, "Who's Malia?" Angelo replies, "John Malia. He builds autos just like I explained. But he hates working on foreign cars. He only works on the domestic stuff." Kathy mentions, "Wow. I thought I'd have to work all summer and wait until next year to buy one." Angelo explains to Kathy, "Just stay out of the retail market. You'll pay top dollar there." Angelo tells Kathy, "If you build one, you can probably have it up and running in less than a week." Eddie tells Angelo, "Well, maybe you can. You're a mechanic." Angelo confidently tells Eddie, "Trust me. You can do it." Angelo asks Kathy, "Do you want me to call Malia?" Kathy asks, like right now? Angelo replies, yeah, right now. Eddie tells Kathy, it doesn't hurt to ask. Kathy tells Angelo, sure. Go ahead and call him. Angelo looks through his book and calls Mr. Malia. Mr. Malia answers, and Angelo says, hey John, what are you doing working on Friday night? Eddie and Kathy can only hear one side of the conversation, so they have to fill in the blanks in their minds. Angelo gets around to asking, hey, do you still have that 914 with the blown engine sitting around? Mr. Malia talks for a while, and Angelo replies, really? Kathy looks at Eddie, wondering what Angelo and Mr. Malia are talking about. Angelo then says to Mr. Malia, a girl in high school wants one built. Her name is Kathy, and she's looking for parts. Kathy looks at Eddie and whispers to him, I'm looking for parts. Angelo asks Mr. Malia, are you sure? After a long pause, Angelo tells Mr. Malia, okay, I'll let her know. And take the weekend off, John. You work too much. Angelo hangs up the phone and tells Kathy, you're in luck. He said you can have it. Kathy asks, how much is he selling it for? Angelo tells Kathy, you don't understand. He said you can have it. Kathy asks, how do you mean? Like for free. Angelo replies, yeah. He said he is sick of looking at it, and it's taking up space. He said, tell her to come and get it. Eddie tells Kathy, wow. Now all we have to do is find a motor for you. Angelo warns Kathy, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but a running motor is probably not going to be free. Kathy replies, somehow, I didn't think so. Kathy is so happy that she starts crying. Kathy asks Eddie and Angelo, so, I might have a car this summer. Angelo tells Kathy, yes. But you have a little work to do. Have the car towed here first. Then, you'll have to find a motor. Unless, of course, you're really lucky, and the motor can be rebuilt. You can't just sit around and wait for it to happen. You have to make it happen. Kathy, on a mission, tells Angelo, I'm going to find a motor for it. Angelo tells him, you got Eddie to help you. It shouldn't be too hard. Angelo then tells Eddie, and the green 69 MGB over there, pointing to the lot in the front, is yours if you want it. Eddie asks, really? Are you serious? Angelo replies, yes. It's yours. It's been sitting there for a few years, and it's taking up valuable space. And I don't have the time to fix it and sell it. I'm way too busy with other stuff. Eddie exclaims, thanks. Thank you so much. But Eddie knew that Angelo would give him the 1969 MGB someday, for he found out from the mechanic. Angelo informs Eddie, it does have a few problems. Eddie asks, what's wrong with it? Angelo explains, it's a perfect illustration of the first law of auto mechanics. Eddie asks, the first law of auto mechanics, what's that? Angelo replies, the first law of auto mechanics is the defective component will eventually identify itself by complete failure. Angelo continues, telling Eddie, it needs an overdrive box, a valve job, a few bushings in the suspension, and some other minor work. Eddie asks Angelo, so I can have it. Angelo tells him, yeah, it's yours. Eddie cordially replies, wow. Thank you so much. Eddie asks, where did it come from? Angelo replies, a customer had it towed in one day. Actually, he had it towed in a few times. I took a look at it, and he never wanted it back after hearing how much it would cost to fix. Eddie tells Angelo, wow, thanks. Angelo tells Eddie, if you want, you can leave it here for a while, or you can take it to your house and work on it there. It would be better if you take it home sometime, so you can work on it whenever you want. Eddie begins to think about when he went through the portal a long time ago. The mechanic told him that Angelo would give him the MGB someday. Someday is apparently today. Eddie and Kathy thank Angelo immensely for his help and then ride back to Kathy's house. Kathy is surprised something that is so difficult can be made so easy when the right person is involved. Kathy tells Eddie, "Wow. Angelo made that sound so easy. Almost too easy." Eddie tells Kathy, "Well, Mr. Zunday does the same thing." Kathy asks, "How do you mean?" Eddie explains, "Well, just look at all the trouble Mr. Crumb caused with the track team in the last year. You tried to get on the team. Mr. Crumb tried to stop it, and Mr. Zunday fixed it. He tried to suspend me, and Mr. Zunday fixed it. He tried to give Braden detention, and Mr. Zunday fixed it. And Mr. Zunday probably had something to do with replacing Mr. O'Brien with Mr. Cruz. And who knows what else Mr. Zunday has done for us that we don't know about." Kathy exclaims, "Yeah, you're right." Eddie tells Kathy, "Well then, Angelo is the Mr. Zunday of automobiles." Kathy, now a bit more confident, tells Eddie, "This is going to work out. I know it."